Or don't.
Okay, meeting will come to order. Doesn't sound like the mic's on. Oh, okay. Here we go. This is Governmental Operations and Veterans Affairs today on March 22nd. Members, we only have about an hour and 20 minutes to get 5 bills today. And I know we had a little trouble getting started here. A lot of committees are going on right now, and I know members have bills up in other committees. So please stick with us so we can get through the agenda. First up is Representative Westrom's bill, and this is House File 2688. Chair will move that House File 2688 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Rules Committee. Is that correct, Representative Westrom?
You know, I'm not sure, Madam Chair. Why would the Rules Committee need it?
My understanding is
they need all resolutions.
Because it relates to something in the Capitol Complex, the Rules Committee relates to anything
I see.
In the building.
Okay. That would be probably correct.
So your bill is before us. Please present it. Representative Westrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This bill deals with the veterans and specifically the War Dogs, which is a group of our veterans who fought in different conflicts and wars. Came to me from a constituent of mine, and Representative Mullery is also on the bill, and some of his constituents, and I think some others probably have heard about this issue, but this would simply just authorize them to raise money and put a plaque on the Veterans Memorial at the end of the Capitol Mall, right near the Veterans Affairs building, as I understand it. And so that is the gist of the bill. Perhaps there's somebody from the Veterans Affairs or one of the groups that is here. I'm not sure, Madam Chair, if they are or not, but I haven't had a chance to talk to them today. If they'd like to make comments on it as well, that'd be fine, but otherwise it would just authorize them to put a plaque. No state money would be involved. They would raise it themselves. But they would like to have the ability and chance to do that and put a plaque up commemorating the war dogs that have served our country.
Okay, is there anybody here from the department that wanted to add to Representative Westrom's testimony? Okay, let's take questions from members and then we'll go to the audience. Any questions from members? Okay, is there anybody from the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill? Okay, seeing none, Chair renews the motion that House File 2688 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Rules Committee. In discussion, all in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and bill goes to rules. Thank you, Representative Westrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members.
All right. And Representative Anderson, is your testifier here? Okay. Let's get you up there then. Thank you. Chair will move that House File 3390 be recommended pass and go to the General Register. That word, you'd like it there, Representative Anderson?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, your bill is before us. Please present it. Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, this bill was brought to me by people who are in state employment and have been called to active duty by the federal government for the activities that are going on in Southwest Asia. And there are some concerns about these individuals who are making some pretty good substantial pay, but they have the expertise in their profession, their background, that in leaving their jobs and going to serve our country by federal law, they are part of it. The term is, say in your overview, is they are part of the uniformed services, and when called, they are required to meet the task that's before them. I had with me a Mr. John Palmer, who has been familiar with some of the members who have been affected by this situation of members being called up, individuals being called up in specific services, and he would like to testify on behalf of these individuals. Others couldn't make it this morning who were supposed to be here. So I would like to pass the baton over to him and have him address the committee regarding these concerns and needs by these individual state employees who are serving us diligently in Southwest Asia or have in crises across the nation, such as Hurricane Katrina and other situations where the Federal Reserve and these services are required. So, Madam Chair, indulge me.
Please, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
I am John Palmer, and I'm a faculty member at St. Cloud State University.
In my capacity as the grievance chair for the Faculty Association, a member of ours was activated for service in response to Hurricane Katrina. And there were questions raised as to whether or not the faculty member would be eligible for pay differential under Minnesota statute. As a result of the investigations that occurred to try to determine that, it came to my attention that there, in my judgment, was an inequity. If this faculty member had been activated as a National Guard member or any of the reserve components of the military, he would have been eligible for the pay differential. But because of a quirk in state law, the provisions now under the Department of Homeland Security for at least four organizations, DMAT, which is a group of people who are signed up to serve the country in response to natural disasters, sharing their medical expertise, DVET, which are people who are signed up to serve the country in response to veterinary-related issues, another team that is signed up to deal with weapons of mass destruction, that they bring special expertise in that area to assist the federal government in response to an incident. And finally, the group that I'm familiar with, DMORT. I placed them last because one would hope that DMORT would have a small role. This is the group that identifies the dead bodies and deals with all of the issues associated with loss and closure for the families relative to those dead bodies. Under further research, it came to my attention that if a state employee was serving as a volunteer for the Red Cross in response to Katrina, not only would they have had pay differential, they would have received full compensation from the state, and the Red Cross would not have made that statement. And it seemed to me that there was an inequity that needed to be addressed. Knowing that my House member is running for Congress, I turned to a neighboring House member who I've worked with over the years, knowing he's had active involvement with Veterans Affairs, and asked him to author the bill that's before you. Members of the Region 5 DMORT team in Minnesota are Mr. and Mrs. Ray Benson from Sartell, John Williams, who's a dentist, that does forensic dentistry work, is from Minneapolis. Harold Risk is my colleague at St. Cloud State. O.J. Fawcett is from Albert Lee. Sharon Williams is from Minneapolis, and Andy Baker is from Bloomington. I've not done the research to determine exactly how many state employees are involved, but one could speculate that if there's one state employee on the DMORT team, in all likelihood, there would end up being several other state employees on these other teams. I do hope that you will act favorably on this bill.
Thank you. Questions from members? Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, Mr. Palmer, just to be clear, because I noticed in the bill you strike National Guard or a component of the United States Armed Forces. Are these D-dash teams, several different groups, connected to the military in any way at all, or are they run through? Once again, give me the encapsulation of how they fit into
the federal law that deals with service to the federal government includes these people within the definition of uniformed services.
It does. Okay.
It includes them in those classifications, and perhaps Mr. Cleary from House Research, who did some of the background work on this, could refresh my memory. There was a use of language in the old statute, in the existing statute, that was narrower in defining who would be eligible for pay differential than the federal law defines uniform service.
Okay, Mr. Cleary.
Yes, Madam Chair and members, the professor is correct about that. Current law refers to reserve members of the armed forces. Now, the armed forces are by far the biggest component of the uniformed services, but there are a couple of other small components. One would be the National Oceanographic Service, and the other would be the National Health Service, and just commissioned members of those. My sense is there are relatively few of those people here in Minnesota. In the dozen or 15 years I've dealt with this program, this is the very first time this issue has arisen. And it was in the context, as Professor Palmer says, of Hurricane Katrina. But given other situations, others could be called up. Does that answer the question?
Madam Chair, it does, and I recognize it is Professor Palmer, not Mr. Palmer. My bad.
Next up, Representative Kahn.
Madam Chairman, this has got to have, just judging from the last meeting we just had in state government finance on the bill of Representative Stevenson, this has got to have some cost associated with it.
What is the
cost, and do we have any idea about the numbers, and is there any reason why this shouldn't go to state government finance with a fiscal note?
Representative.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, I've not asked for a fiscal note. I just was made aware that this bill was going to be brought to committee here, but I will get a fiscal note, and if it's your desire that it goes to state government finance to have it looked at, I'm more than glad to accommodate.
I don't know
right offhand what it is.
I don't understand how this can occur without it costing some money. I support it. I think it's an excellent idea, but I do think it's an expansion of a program that costs money, and
okay. Let's get a clarification here, Mr. Clary.
Yes.
We're talking about any fiscal note issues.
Yes, Madam Chair, I stand corrected. I think it obviously is a fiscal bill and probably should go to state government finance. This is the kind of thing, Madam Chair and Representative Kahn, that will either cost zero or conceivably, if it's in the right natural disaster or terrorist disaster, it could cost some significant amount.
Okay, so based on that, the Chair will update the motion that this bill would go to state government finance instead of the general register.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, since 9/11, there have been bills passed to deal with the Homeland Security situation where there's been money been set aside, but I don't know the exact amount of money that's been made available to states for situations like this, because there have been groups of people like what Professor Palmer has stated that have been designated and money has been provided, but I don't know the exact amount. So we will get that information for you and for the next committee, and I appreciate your accommodation of that.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Okay, next up, Representative Dempsey.
Representative, could you explain for me on page 2, line 2.22,
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative Dempsey, these people right now serve in the situation of, as Professor Palmer has mentioned, as a professor at St. Cloud State. They're non-military. They may have been in the military in the past, but their expertise services are requested by the federal government to come, and because of the situation where they're at, the designation or the definition of their particular job requires of the federal government to include them in part of the uniformed services group. So they are automatically, no matter if they want to go or not want to go, they're included in a group or a team, as Professor Palmer has mentioned, and they are then, because of the need for the country and the situation that they're in, such as Hurricane Katrina and other national crisis or situations like Southwest Asia, are asked to come and serve their country. So it could be non-military reserve component that we're talking, and that's what it states there, but they're part of the uniformed services, and they've been designated that way by the federal government. It's not basically the state doing this. It's the federal government that's already said, you, because you're part of a mortician team or because of weapons of mass destruction, whatever the case might be, your expertise is needed by your country, and we are engaging your practice or your service
to help us out wherever it's needed, and this particular situation was in Hurricane Katrina with massive destruction that went on with the hurricane. So because it says non-military reserve component, that's what they are now. They may have been in the past, but not necessarily.
Okay. Any further follow-up? Okay. Other questions from members? And is there anybody from the department that wanted to comment on this legislation? Anybody from the audience like to testify for or against this bill? Okay, I think we're getting ready for the vote here. Representative Anderson, you get the last word before we vote. Representative Anderson.
Well, Madam Chair, members, I think that there are people out in our communities that we are not even aware of that have expertise, capabilities, and because of the need of situations like Professor Palmer's mentioned, Hurricane Katrina and other situations like the National Guards get called up here in the state of Minnesota, and because of the federal law that's stated here, these people get called into service. You don't even know about it. I didn't even know about it until I was made aware of a phone call 2 weeks ago, or a week before session started, that this was a concern. And so I would appreciate your support in this and helping out individuals who work as state employees for the state of Minnesota that are called by federal law into active service to support certain situations, not only in this nation, but across the sea. So appreciate your indulgence.
Thank you. Chair will renew the motion that House File 3390 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to State Government Finance. Any discussion? All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and bill goes to State Government Finance. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, members.
Okay, next up is Representative Seibert. Representative Seibert, would you like to move your bill, please?
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to move House File number 3664 and recommend it to pass and go to the General Register.
Okay. Your bill is before us. Please present it. Representative Seibert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill is a department bill, and it's basically a cleanup bill. When this law was written, it left out a very important part of our National Guard security, and that's has to do with base security. According to this law, our National Guard soldiers can carry machine guns to protect the base, but we left out an important part, and that's the security guards that we hire also. These security guards are state employees. They're not from Joe Schmo's security company. They go through background checks. They go through weapons training, just like the military does. These guys carry these weapons. They're very confident with them. But according to state law, we've left them out, and so that just fixes that.
Okay. And your testifier, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Morning, Madam Chair. Colonel Denny Shields, Assistant to the Adjutant General, Department of Military Affairs. Just to reinforce what Representative Seibert already said, state law already allows members of the military to include the National Guard to carry automatic weapons and short-barreled shotguns. This is just a cleanup. Our security personnel at our two air bases, as well as Camp Ripley, is a combination of military personnel and federally reimbursed state employees. And our attorneys felt that we needed this extra provision, if you will, to make sure that we were authorized to carry those weapons, as well as to protect those individuals in case they, God forbid, had to actually use those weapons.
Thank you. And I think, Colonel Shields, when we visited Camp Ripley as a committee last fall, this issue came up. So thank you, Representative Seibert, for putting this in bill format and bringing it to committee. Questions from members? Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Seibert, on line 2.3 of the bill, actually, this occurs twice, where it says, for use in accordance with applicable federal military regulations. I don't know what those regulations would be that are being referred to here, but does this restrict the use to absolutely when they're performing those duties as security guards? In other words, when they go home, they can't take their machine gun or their short-barreled shotgun with them, right?
That's correct, Representative Liebling. They follow the same rules as any other National Guard active duty person. When you come to post, you go and you get your weapon issued to you, go out to post. When you're done, you go back and turn your weapon back into the armory. You can't take it home.
Anything further, Representative Lee?
No, Madam Chair.
Other questions for members? And is there anybody from the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill?
I have a question, sir. Is there anything else besides the
weapons? Oh, can you come up and we need you to get on record because our meeting is taped. Okay, maybe you can talk to him afterwards. Yeah, sorry about that. Okay, anybody else? All right, Representative Seibert, you get the last word here before we vote on your bill. Representative Seibert.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll just renew my motion to pass this bill and get it to the General Register.
Okay. You've heard Representative Seibert's motion. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the bill goes to General Register.
Thank you,
Representative Seibert. Okay, next up is Representative Wardlaw. Representative Wardlow moves that House File 3248 be recommended to pass to the General Register. Representative Wardlow, your bill is before us. Please present it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill is very simple. We've heard that before, I know. All it does is allows active duty personnel, when they come home on leave, they can go to our parks for free. All they got to do is show their military ID and show their leave papers, and they tape the leave papers inside the window of their vehicle. And that's all it is. It is not restricted to Minnesota. It allows any active duty military person who's serving outside the state of Minnesota to come and use our parks, and hopefully they'll come back later and stay and lend us their expertise.
I have a question, Representative Wardlow. So we're looking at General Register here, but does this, in fact, have any impact on Department of Natural Resources and any potential revenue that might be lost or whatever? Representative Wardlow.
Yes, Madam Chair. I think this should go to environmental policy.
Okay. We'll up environment and finance.
And then probably go to finance after that or...
Okay, we're going to...
You want to go to finance.
Okay, we're going to update Representative Wardlow's motion that the bill would go to environment finance. Okay?
Absolutely.
Questions for Representative Wardlow? Representative Welty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Wardlow, I'm just looking at this for clarification. This is only while they are serving, correct?
Correct. That's correct, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Representative Welty.
Any other questions from members? Is there anybody from the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill? Okay. Representative Wardlow, you get one more quick pitch before we vote. Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Vote.
All right. Representative Wardlow renews his motion that House File 3248 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Ag Environment Finance Committee. Any discussion? All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and bill goes to Environment Finance. Thank you,
Representative
Wardlow.
Much.
Okay. We're on a roll here. Next up, we have Representative Bradley.
He's chairing Human Services, but okay. Madam Chair, I know a little bit about this bill.
Okay.
Of the sunset issue.
Madam Chair, I would move that House File 3374 be recommended to pass and go to the General Register.
Okay.
Madam Chair, this bill was heard before the Health Committee already. We've had kind of a general law that sunsets a lot of these commissions and councils, and the Council on Disability advises the legislature, agencies, etc. It's made up mainly of citizens who are handicapped and disabled, and their sunset is next year, and Representative Bradley would like to extend for 4 years. We will periodically review what they do and things that they advise, but my understanding is that no one is opposed to this bill and that the disabled community would like to see this extension for another 4 years. So I don't know if we need to get Representative Bradley down from his committee or...
We should probably send the page to at least let him know. Okay.
I think if we defeat it, you can probably
get any questions that Representative Seifert might be able to answer for us. questions from
maybe
members?
Maybe there's testifiers, Madam Chair, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll give it a minute here. And I know we're going to be doing a small bill that we've had on the agenda several times. Yeah. Here will be the next one up. We've got the Senate file. Yeah, why don't we temporarily lay over House File 3374. We'll see if we can find Representative Bradley. If not, we'll come back to Representative Seifert. Okay, Chair temporarily lays over House File 3374. And I'm going to, Chair will move that Senate File 1272 be recommended to pass to the General Register. I think everybody's got it in your packet. You've probably seen it way too many times here. We kept putting that at the end of the agenda because we thought it was a quick bill that we could hear at any time since there's not any testifiers. And this was one of the bills, members, that we heard last year in committee and went to the floor. And so everything automatically bounces back to the last committee if there's no action on the floor. And you see the gist of the bill is the insertion on line 23 of page 1 there. The Commissioner of Transportation would be part of this State Indian Affairs Council. And that is based on a suggestion from the Commissioner of Transportation and in working with this council. So they would like to be part of that. And actually, I'd like to make an oral amendment since we've had this bill out there. I've also got a request from the Commissioner of Administration to be part of this council. So Chair will move oral amendment. I don't know if this goes on, line 24 or something, to add the words the Commissioner of Administration. Yes. Mr. Shepherd, is that correct? Okay. And let's just get a quick vote on that. Any discussion on the oral amendment to add the Commissioner of Administration on line 24? Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, I'm really glad. I'm glad to see we're adding the Commissioner of Transportation because as the Indian nations prosper and there's some pretty fantastic economic growth happening, transportation is the thing I know that we notice the most in Scott County has an impact, but tell me what the justification for or the reasoning behind Department of Administration would be. Thoughts on that?
As far as I understand, it's for coordinating various items that occur within the state government. And actually, I don't know if Jim Rhodes is here. I weren't sure that if it was going to come up this early. Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah, there is some overlap with the state archaeologists, and it would be helpful. Similar situation to transportation issues.
Thank you.
And the Indian Council is supportive of that. Okay. Any other questions to the oral amendment to insert the Commissioner of Administration? All in favor of that oral amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Okay, so we're to the bill as amended. Representative Dempsey.
Madam Chair, who is the House author of this bill?
I'm the House author. Sorry, it's not clear. We're looking at the Senate file. This was a bill we heard in committee last year. Went to the floor and bounced back because there was no floor action, but the Senate has acted on it. So, Representative Dempsey.
Well, it has to do with Indian tribes, and I have an Indian tribe in my district, and I feel a little bit left out, to be quite frank with you.
Okay. We thought maybe Joe Day would be here from the Indian Council. Perhaps we can do some connecting with him in the meantime. So thank you, Representative Dempsey. Any other questions to Senate File 1272? Okay. Chair renews the motion that Senate File 1272 as amended be recommended to pass it into the General Register. Any discussion? All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and Senate File 1272 goes to the General Register. Okay, we have with us now Representative Bradley, and we brought the bill up for a few minutes and laid it on the table temporarily, and so the Chair is going to bring that back up, and Representative Seifert is going to renew his motion that House File 3374 be recommended to pass to the General Register. Representative Bradley, Your bill is before us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to inform members, this passed unanimously in the Health Committee. Fairly straightforward. All it does is extend the sunset, which was scheduled to be in June 30th, 2007, for 4 years to 2011. And this is for the Council on Disabilities. I'll stand for questions.
Questions from members. Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Representative Bradley, the council is appointed by, can you a little bit about the administration, how that's appointed?
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning. I'm Joan Wilshire, the Executive Director of the State Council on Disability. I've got brief testimony here as well, and I won't read it. I'll just kind of highlight it. But the council, we've been around since 1973. We're a governor-appointed agency of 21 board members. We have five staff members, and we exist as your advisory entity to the governor, state legislature, state agencies, and to the public. We have a really broad charge, and as a result, we really are the comprehensive disability organization and resource for all of the above sources that we just listed. We do many things, and on here you'll see we do trainings. Last year we conducted a first-time ever emergency preparedness conference for people with disabilities. We review many disability issues, and I'm sure seen many advisories come across your desk. We work in conjunction with many state agencies on grants, which is why we're looking for this extension. Currently, we're with a large interagency infrastructure grant with CMS, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, the DHS, and DEED. And it really does help to look like we extend more beyond more than just next year, because it's a four-year grant. So it's a little technicality that they like to see, that we will exist beyond just that. And we do a lot of technical assistance, many, many calls, thousands of calls we receive from building codes to disability parking, healthcare issues, and et cetera. So that's just a little highlight. We're here to be your resource, and we encourage you always to utilize us. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer any.
Okay. Questions for the testifier. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Bradley, why is there a sunset at all being requested on this?
Representative Bradley.
I'm sure Representative Liebling. I would say two reasons. One, on a general policy, I believe there is value in revisiting the functioning of these kinds of groups. We have multiple groups that have that sort of touch each other, and there's a value in us pulling us back to relook. And then secondly, I worked with the board. I think that the State Council on Disability is doing a terrific job now. There was a period of time when even the board found some need to regenerate itself, and that's not too far in the past. So working through that process, I think it showed again how important it is to have the legislature revisit the function of these kind of organizations, these kind of boards.
Okay, other questions? And is there anybody from the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill? Okay. Seeing none, Representative Bradley, you get the last word before we vote. Representative Bradley.
Just thank you for the opportunity to be with you, and we've responded to your question. Thank you.
Great. Representative Seifert renews his motion that House File 3374 be recommended to pass to the General Register. Any discussion? All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails, and bill goes to General Register. Representative Kahn.
I was actually, until Representative Dempsey raised them, I was going to move yours to the consent calendar. Does this belong on the consent calendar?
Well, we just moved it to General Register,
well,
so.
I'm fine. That's
thank you, Representative Bradley. Members, as long as we went last night, we were kind of shocked. Now we've gone through our list of bills for today, and I hate to just lose this time here. I was thinking maybe we could have a discussion about legislative reform issues, and I know there was a bill that went around the committee here the last couple of days of talking about some of the legislative reform ideas that came out of the conference at the Humphrey Institute and other places. And so maybe if we can take a few minutes to talk about some of the issues that will be coming up here in the next days of hearings, and maybe Representative Loeffler, if you could help us with some of that discussion. But first here I want to announce we have a group of high school students with us today, and they are from the Holy Family Catholic High School in Victoria. So let's welcome them. Great, thanks. Okay, I know last night for legislative reform issues, we had talked about the terms of the members of the House of Representatives, and that bill did get out of the committee. We talked about reducing the size of the legislature. That was part of Representative Sikora's bill, but that article got deleted. I know there's been other issues that we've talked about through Representative Broad and Representative, who has it? Oh, anyway, there's various versions of talking about staggered terms for the Senate, having half the Senate up every 2 years. But Representative Loeffler, maybe if I could turn to you for a minute and talk about some of the issues that will be coming up in these bills in the next few days. Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just going off the top of my head, not expecting this. I think that, well, you've heard many of the concepts that are going to be coming forward in the bills that were circulated around the committee earlier. They're the ones that came out of the legislative reform initiative that all members were invited to put ideas in and then rank them, and then some of them got fleshed out a little bit more at the Humphrey Institute two-day seminar. And so they're all, I think, pretty much concepts that have been seen before. The bill, the portion of the reform bill, we have two versions. Let me just explain how Chair Tinglestad has kind of organized some of the debate on those items, in that they have been introduced as separate bills, as well as the consolidated bill that was passed around the committee to have everyone sign on to. And the thought on the separate bills was that it would allow people who agreed with some portion of the package to sign on to that and indicate support, even if there might be something else they're not quite sure about or they want to learn more about, but that ultimately it'll all be rolled into one thing. And I don't know if your intention, Madam Chair, is to roll other bills that deal with reform ideas. I know that a number of committee members here have their own concepts and bills, and I know other people who don't serve on our committee have introduced bills on a similar topic, similar to some of them that we heard last night from Representative Erickson and others. And so I don't know if your thought is that all of them will be rolled potentially into one bill or...
Good question, Representative Loeffler, and actually we're looking at our options with that. We could potentially go that way. What I want to make sure that we get is some kind of a bill that has quite a bit of consensus on it, so that there isn't any one piece that would bring the bill down. So we're kind of looking at maybe dual tracking it so that there's options on the House floor to go either way with that. Representative Loeffler.
And members, the other point I can say that there'll be a time frame for budget decision making that I think actually may have the biggest impact in terms of how we consider bills here in the legislature, trying to get things from the executive branch into the process earlier so we can start serious consideration at this in the legislative body sooner, and then, you know, establishing some kind of milestones along the way for our consideration. And I think, you know, we'll try and walk you piece by piece through the whole budget process about what we do currently, what we do differently. Some of the concepts that haven't come out, I don't think, in previous discussions, just so you're kind of aware of sort of some of the embellishments beyond what's been considered earlier, is things like right now in statute, state agencies are required to, by November 1st, get to the revisor's office their agency bills. And I think they tend to sometimes do that more as placeholders, and then they kind of put them all together in a consolidated department of whatever bill. And it includes all the little updating, technical corrections, changes because of changed federal program requirements, whatever, along with the major initiatives out of the governor. And we're going to try and separate that so that early in the session we can get rid of and clear the decks of all the kind of non-controversial minor adjustments due to court rulings, federal changes, whatever, get those out of the way. And, you know, maybe then our final conference committee reports won't be the 400 to 500 page bills, but will be much more focused on the key decisions that are tied to the dollars, rather than having all of this language that's really just updating language. And let's just kind of get that out of the way early. And so there's some things like that that will also hopefully contribute to people having a perception that we're actually passing legislation early in the session that needs to get passed, and kind of clearing off our desk so that we can really focus on the key issues. So there is a little bit of non-budget issues that come about. I was just talking with Representative Hosh, and the discussion last night actually raised the question that maybe this would be a good time to ask Mark Shepherd about. And that is, some of the things that we discussed last night could have been handled as rules amendments or addressed in our rules. I know I raised that question yesterday, but I'm seeing that in different bill proposals that are being discussed. And we might want to kind of look at a philosophy of when should we put something in statute, when should we really be pushing to amend either our House rules or joint rules, and can you put together, address a bill to the rules process? I'm new to kind of how the rules get amended, but I'm thinking some of the things that we passed last night and others could have been handled in rules. You can put them in statute. It gives it a little different weight. But maybe there's some tradition or maybe we've never had rules changes go through a committee process other than through the rules committee. I'm not sure.
Well, maybe if we can get Mr. Shepherd to comment on that. Mr. Shepherd.
Madam Chair and members, just two kind of quick points on the issue of legislative reform and writing legislative procedures into statute as opposed to putting them into rule. The question is sort of what happens when you want to go enforce these things. If you had a, you know, for example, if the germaneness rule on the House floor were enforced by courts, I mean, that would obviously have some implications. And there's quite a bit of case law actually in other states about the extent to which courts will step in to sort of disputes over legislative procedure. And most obviously, the courts do always step in if you're violating the Constitution. If you failed to give a bill three readings or something, then the courts would step in. In general, the courts never step in if the issue is only something having to do with interpretation of a House rule. So a court would just say, we're not going to get involved in whether the Speaker's germaneness rule was correct or not. And where there's some mixed case law is when you have statutes that impose legislative procedural requirements. And the ones that I'm familiar with, the ones where courts are most likely to get involved are things where there's a statute that requires open meetings. There's a number of cases in other states where a court has said, yes, if you have a statutory requirement for an open meeting law, then we will step in and enforce that. This isn't definitive, but in general, the courts have been more reluctant to enforce sort of procedural requirements, like things, how long a bill has to lay on a member's desk before it can be heard. So there is sort of this enforcement question if you put something in statute, whereas if you put it in rule, the custom and usage of the House has been that people can raise points of orders under House rules. I think some of you might want to ask Al Mathewitz about this if you're on the House floor. As I understand the custom, it has not been the custom of the House to raise points of order under a statute and having the Speaker rule that an action of a House member is illegal under a statute. So that, I'm not saying you couldn't do that, it's just not been customary. So those are things you might want to think about in whether you'd put these reform things into statute or rule. Just how would you expect them to be enforced?
Thank you. I just got a note passed here with some other visitors in our audience here today. Understand that it's Alina Day at the Capitol, and we have guests Stan Marsak and Nancy Lakanen, is it? Are you in the audience? Can you wave? Let's welcome them here. Looks like you have other people with you, but those are the two names I got. I think, are you both from Coon Rapids? That's the best part of the whole state, you know. That happens to be my district. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Okay, other discussion on legislative reform issues? Representative McNamara.
Madam Chair, it's not on legislative reform, it's on another issue.
Well, we have an open discussion now. Go ahead. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to this body to reconsider House File 3078. I'd like to make a motion for reconsideration.
Representative McNamara is making a motion that we reconsider House File 3078. And Representative McNamara, remind us what that is. Representative McNamara.
It's a bill to... has to deal with the IRRB, Madam Chair. It was a lengthy discussion last night.
Okay, and I don't know if that's happened before in our committee with reconsideration, but I believe we vote at first to if we're going to reconsider the bill, and then
then you bring it up, and whatever we're going to reconsider, it's just kind of a normal bill hearing.
That's okay. My understanding, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any discussion to Representative McNamara's motion to reconsider House File 3078? Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair, not having ever encountered this before, I'm just wondering, is it typical to bring up, or are we allowed to bring up a bill that wasn't on the day's agenda?
Yes. I mean, it's not supposed to be available. Yeah.
Representative Seifert.
Madam Chair, yes, it is. It can be brought up at any time as long as the committee isn't adjourned. It's not supposed to be debatable, but I think members can be allowed points of inquiry and so forth.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay. Next point of inquiry, Representative Kahn.
No, I don't have any point of inquiry. I just oppose it. Thank you, did. All right, then. We did what the author seemed to want us to do yesterday, so I'm not sure what further discussion this is.
Representative Sheldon Johnson.
No, thank you, Madam Chair. Which bill was that again that you're referring to?
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's House File 3078. It was authored by Representative Pennis. It was dealt with IRRRB.
Okay. Representative Hosh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I respect the right to be able to reconsider this, but I do have concerns that we have gone through the agenda today. We have said that we were done voting and that this is a time for discussion. I think when members are here with busy schedules, meeting with constituents, maybe have other meetings, and then that is inferred that we are done with our agenda for the day and voting, they may have to be somewhere else. And this should have been on the radar screen or taken care of earlier on today's agenda.
Okay. So any other discussion to Representative McNamara's motion? Okay. Representative McNamara's motion to reconsider, and if this passes, then we'll go with the reconsideration and talk further about the bill. Representative McNamara's motion to reconsider. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails, and a bill will be brought up for reconsideration. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the H3078DE1 amendment, and I believe it was explained last night. I'll stand for questions.
Okay, and actually, Representative McNamara, you're going to move that House File 3078 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to State Government Finance, and then Representative McNamara moves the DE1 amendment to put it in the shape that he'd like for further discussion. Okay, the DE1 amendment is before us. Representative Kahn.
You were so, but didn't we adopt it? Wasn't it on the bill? It's a different. We now have a different amendment. Okay. Did you know that?
No.
Representative McNamara.
Okay.
So this is the original.
Okay. Well, I just need a minute to read it.
Okay. Then why don't we take a list here of who wants to get on the list for questions?
This is not.
Representative Kahn.
Madam Chairman, we did. This isn't the. I thought we put the DE1 amendment on, and I thought we had a set of amendments that were already in place, and so we don't have the amendment that we put on the bill in front of us.
Madam Chair?
Representative McNamara.
To this point, Madam Chair, this is the original amendment I offered, and that's the amendment I'm offering now.
Well, but...
Representative Kahn, Mr. Shepard has told me that because we're starting new with how the bill is being brought up, that this is the appropriate motion to bring it before us, and certainly that.
When you reconsider the bill, I think you reconsider the bill in the form as if which it was before the committee. And I thought we had put an amended DE1 amendment on.
Mr. Shepard.
Madam Chair and Representative Kahn, this is just my understanding of the motion. My recollection of last night was that the committee did adopt a number of oral amendments to this document, but that Representative McNamara's motion is now to offer this as a delete everything to what the committee did last night. So that he's offering a motion.
Okay. The first thing, Madam Chairman, I think the first thing that's appropriate is to see before us the bill. The motion was to reconsider the bill that was before us. I really think I need to see that bill before we can then put another delete everything amendment in. So I would like to see that bill as it was before us. And I know, you know, I imagine that it wasn't engrossed because we thought we thought that it wasn't coming back, but if it's coming back, I do think it's appropriate to see the bill as we, in the shape in which it was last night, and then look at the amendment for it.
Well, Representative Kahn, my understanding is because the bill failed last night, it goes back to how it was introduced. So we have House File 3078 in front of us, and Representative McNamara has now offered the DE1 amendment to it. So it's kind of like we're starting over again.
I just don't think that's, you know, I think that when you reconsider, we're reconsidering the vote by which what we voted for was to reconsider the vote by which House File 3078 failed. And I think it's before us in the form in which House File 3078 was.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kahn, I believe you have the original 3078 that was before us last night. I proposed the original H3078 DE1 amendment last night. It got modified and failed, so I'm back.
Oh, no, I think...
It got modified and failed. Excuse me, Madam Chair. I believe I have the floor.
Yes, you do.
It got modified and it failed on a voice vote. I'm proposing that we reconsider it. I brought up the bill, and now I brought up my amendment, and I'll stand for questions.
No. Representative,
my memory, and I guess I would suggest that we go to the tape and we listen to it. My memory of what happened is that we passed the DE1 amendment. I thought we had some serious discussion about it. I think the last issue was what the co-chairs would be, and we agreed on that, and we passed the DE1 amendment. So then the bill was before us with last night's DE1 amendment before us. And so then that was part of the bill. So when we reconsider the vote by which that failed, we must consider what we had before us. Well, that's my belief.
Sure.
I'll file a protest to the Speaker of the House if this goes on without this. If I'm wrong, I'll certainly admit that I'm wrong. But I've never seen reconsideration of a bill without the bill before us. As it were.
You are right, and you do have an opportunity to file whatever you would like, but actually both of you are right at this point, but this is a different procedure, so at any time anybody can bring up a new bill like this where you're putting on a DE amendment as a new amendment, so... Representative McNamara's motion is in order. Representative McNamara.
Well, I just wanted to clarify, Representative Kahn, we're just back where we started last night. We introduced the original bill. I've introduced this amendment. You're free to offer your amendments as you did last night at this point. Go ahead.
Representative Kahn.
But I think that the place we're supposed to start from is the bill as it was amended, and then you're free to strike that and to offer this as a delete everything amendment. All I'm asking for is the courtesy to see what we had last night. I don't think I do understand that this motion is in order, but I do believe that when we're asked to reconsider anything, we're required to have what we're asked. I thought, as the vote to reconsider was, I thought that that's what we were doing, to bring back the bill as it was before us last night. And the only thing you're reconsidering is the final vote, which was the only thing that failed.
Mr. Shepard, can you give us any
election? Madam Chair, I'll just, what it's worth, offer what I understand to be the procedure, which I think you're correct in stating that both Representative Kahn and Representative McNamara are right. That is, when the committee amended the bill last night, they took this document and made some changes to it. So that is how the bill stands now before the committee. It's my understanding. But my understanding is Representative McNamara is now saying he wants to delete everything that's in the bill and offer this, which I, in my opinion, I believe is a proper motion.
All I'm asking for is to have that bill before us. Then I completely agree that I do believe that we should have that bill as it was amended before us, and then discuss why this is better than the form of that bill.
Do we have any staff that can help us with that? We'll have Mr. Shepard take a look at that in the next few minutes here. Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, there's another thought that's occurring to me that we may want to just poke at here. If we have a list of the amendments that were made last night, we could one at a time move to reconsider each of those amendments and reconsider them until we get back to the original version of the DE1 amendment. if that's the concern.
No.
Otherwise, Madam Chair, does staff have a list of the amendments, and we can mark them up orally, mark them up right here, right now, and we'll be on our way.
Sure, he's checking into that right now, but there's two different procedures, basically, and Representative McNamara has chosen the procedure where he's looking at a delete all amendment. It happens to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, very similar to what we talked about last night, but that's certainly his option to do that. Okay. Representative McNamara, do you want to... Anything else?
Madam Chair, to move it along, if Representative Kahn has some of the questions about some of the things that got added on last night, I'd be glad to stand for those questions. I presented the bill as the way I would like to see it pass with the H3078DE1 amendment, but I'd be welcome to stand for the questions. There was different things we voted on. Co-chairs, three instead of four. I believe those actually are the only two. Representative Kahn, I believe both you and I believe it was Representative Liebling were the ones that offered those amendments. You're free to offer those amendments again if you don't recollect them. If I remember right, that's what they are.
But that's not a different procedure. That's not the procedure in which we do. You're free to, we have that bill before us, you're free to remove that amendment and to offer this amendment, and then we vote on that. And and you know, I just think that we deserve to have the bill in front of us, and we don't add the amendments back because those were already added last night. So you can take them out. You can make the motion to take them out in one stroke and replace it with this. All I'm saying is that I don't believe I've ever seen a situation where we were not allowed to see in front of us what we're amending. And it isn't this that we're amending now. It's what we did last night that we were amending. And so all I'm saying is that...
Okay, and I've already ruled that this is a proper motion. Question to Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, if you want to proceed with that route, we're prepared to uphold the ruling of the Chair. However, the rules are designed so that the minority has its say, but at the end of the day, the majority has its way. And the majority apparently feels that this bill needs to move to take up finance, excuse me. And so we can sit around here and argue about what amount to moot points, or we can move ahead with it after the majority. I'm sure the minority had its say last night. I know they did. I sat through it. But the at the end of the day, is it going to make any difference? And I don't mean to disparage the concerns of the minority, not at all. But the bill will move ahead because the majority will have its way at the end of the day. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, Representative Kahn.
The problem is, there's a different procedure. And there's a different procedure, and there's a different vote, in a sense, when you're taking something out and when you're putting something in. And I just think we ought to take the procedure. I don't believe that I've ever seen this procedure on the reconsideration of a bill in 34 years in the House. Now, if you think it's okay just because you have the majority, and it's okay to go ahead and do that, if you have the majority, it's going to work out anyway when we get to that. But I think all I am standing for, and particularly when we're looking at legislative effectiveness and correct procedures and so forth, I just think that we should follow the procedure that I've ever seen. Now, if anyone can point to me of an example when we didn't do that on the reconsideration of a bill in committee, I'll certainly, you know, admit that I was wrong, unless that was just a bad procedure. We do sometimes continue things because we've had bad procedures.
Representative Demmer.
And we also, oops, I think we also Kahn. Ought to have the author here to find out what she thinks about all this.
I think we're finding her, yeah. Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A question I have, Madam Chair, is it a requirement? I mean, I understand that kind of saying.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, do the rules say it's a requirement that we have the engrossed version from last night in front of us
no.
that we're reconsidering, or is this a courtesy thing for the committee to have? And I understand what Representative Kahn is saying. Is it a requirement by rule, or is it something we're doing because people are honestly wondering what's in the bill and want to have a debate on it?
Well,
Well, I'd certainly like to, you know, get the information, and Mr. Shepherd has gone upstairs to get the notes from last night, but my understanding is that there's two different ways of doing this. Representative McNamara has chosen this way. It is a proper motion, and I'd like to get to the substance of what's in the amendment so that we can look at it. Representative Kahn.
Well, the problem is the bill was in, if there was another bill in the committee, I think he could have, any bill that's in the committee can be moved up at any time. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, this was a bill in our committee that we had already taken official committee actions on, which are in our minutes. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to undo those actions. And it is true that you can't undo the actions with a motion to delete everything amendment and replace it with this delete everything amendment. But I certainly think it's appropriate for us to see what we're doing. Now, I don't know. I mean, at least the motion's got to be that you have to delete that amendment and then replace it with this delete everything amendment. But I do think we ought to see what we did, and we ought to argue, and we ought to discuss that as we're dealing with the delete everything amendment. And I will point out that there's another, you can't call the question in committee.
Right.
So we're going to be here for a very long time discussing this.
Okay, Representative Kahn, I know that the bill still is within our committee jurisdiction. Next up for questions, Representative Seibert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just some clarification. I'm having a hard time following this. It's kind of like who's on first. Delete all amendment we have before us. Now, Representative McNamara might be able to answer this. Does this replace everything we did last night? This will be the delete all amendment for what we voted on last night, not the original bill. Is that true?
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Seibert, I brought up for reconsideration, and we passed reconsideration on House File 3078. Then, after we brought that up, and I believe, Madam Chair, we did bring that the bill is before us now, I believe. Then I offered the amendment H3078DE1, and I think Representative Kahn's point is she wants to be able to look at what we did last night. My motion is in order, but Representative Kahn didn't think it was appropriate that we discuss it until we have this in front of us, and we have accommodated her and have brought that before us now. And I believe that's where we're at, and so at this point, I'll stand for questions.
Representative Kahn.
Okay, I then want to, first of all, again, I believe that we ought to have, that we ought to have members of the IRRB here to discuss it. We had them yesterday, and we had, and we certainly ought to have the author here to also discuss it.
And we have people finding them right now.
We have to do
other so. Members with questions.
Well,
Representative Beard.
If Madam Chair, questioned on the question of Representative Kahn raised. I don't mean to sound high-handed here, but if we had testimony yesterday, and the bill actually doesn't belong to them anymore, it belongs to this committee. It's in our purview to dispose of it as we see fit, testifiers or not. And we've got it laying in front of us. I think the bill is, it belongs to the committee. It doesn't belong to the bill author anymore. It doesn't belong to the testifiers or anybody else. It's the purview of the committee and the chair of the committee.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from members? Representative Kahn.
Well, I guess if this is Representative, I'd like to know, you know, with all the discussion that we had last night, and I think the thing that is literally, that's legitimately in doubt is the final passage of the bill. But I thought that we were in really pretty good shape on the amendments in the bill and the kinds of things, you know, with the discussion that we had about the... with the discussion of the amendments and with the discussion of the membership and going back to how successful you thought the LCMR task force was and so forth, I thought the amendments were okay. So let's go to this language that is now omitted and see why, you know, I'd like to hear from Representative McNamara, why he thinks these are now no longer a good idea when he
Madam Chair, to that point.
Almost all of them yesterday.
To this point, Representative Stevenson.
Madam Chair, I apologize for not being able to be here last night. I had another engagement that I had previously. But I was just curious, since Representative Kahn felt that the amendments that had gone on to the bill were appropriate and they put the bill in a good shape how she voted on that particular bill.
Well, the problem was at that point, one of the things that we consistently did is ask the author what she felt about it, and the author made some very derogatory comments about what had been done, so I didn't see any need to... So it was the author's comments that determined what my final vote was. The author,
Madam Chair,
had accepted this, I would have been perfectly happy to move it on.
Okay.
And that's what I think we ought to do in the reconsideration, is that we ought to take this as it and we ought to vote to move it on. And if the author is now says that she wants it moved on, I will vote with her to move it on.
Representative Pettis, the author of the bill.
Yes, Madam Chair, I have constituents of my district in my office right now, but I was called down here. The amendment, delete all amendment that Representative McNamara offered last night, I was fully in support of. As far as my making derogatory comments last night, I'm not going to go there, since I was personally hurt by the fact that I have worked, I think, with the board members. I am trying to be very nonpartisan on this, and it just keeps coming out meow. So let's not go there. I would like to go back to Representative McNamara's delete all amendment, vote it up or down.
Okay. Representative Kahn.
I was following the suggestions that we've had. But this bill is not...
I'm going to call the question on the BE1 amendment.
I object.
Okay, we are in recess.